Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, He is the Vine.
God, help us now as we open the Scriptures. Teach us something about what it means to be rooted in Christ, to find our life in Christ, to be fruitful in Christ. Use this time now to your glory, for our benefit and growth. Help us, God, to not only learn things, but to embrace things and to live things so that we can join Jesus in his work in the world. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, we began a new series called He is the Vine. Every week we're going to be talking about some aspect of being fruitful in Jesus, what it means to abide in Jesus. Last week we talked about the fruit of repentance, and I reminded you of the story where John the Baptist was preparing the way for Christ, preparing the way of the Lord. And he called people to repentance. And he called people to lay down their ideas and to join God in his work in the world. And he said, you need to submit, repent, turn from sin. And then Jesus came to be baptized. And John was all surprised because he didn't think the sermon was for Jesus. He said, I think I'm preparing the way for you. And Jesus said, no, I want to be baptized to demonstrate submission and humility before God, because even Jesus, not surprisingly, if Jesus is going to be our forerunner, if he's the one to lead us into the God way of living, that the first thing he does is demonstrates that the way a life of ministry begins, a life of fruitfulness begins with surrender to God and humility before God. So that's what we talked about last week. This week, we're going to look at some things Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, particularly about being authentic, being real. Anybody out here aspire to being a phony? Okay, I mean, we're pretty good at it. We don't have to try that hard at it. Phoniness is not something that we admire. One of the things about Jesus, when I read the words of Jesus, when I see the thing Jesus does and says through the Gospels, I have to say that one of the things that strikes me is how authentic this portrayal of Jesus seems. That, people will follow him, and Jesus will say things like, why are you following me? You know, people will try to compliment him, and Jesus will say things like, why are you throwing compliments around? The disciples would ask a stupid question, and Jesus would say, how long do I have to put up with you people? You know, the crowds would cling and follow Jesus, and he'd sneak away to be alone. I mean, all of these things, when I read the Gospels, not to mention the wonderful stories of him being challenged and the wonderful teachings he gives, there is a very realness about Jesus when you read the portrayal of him in the New Testament. And that's very compelling. Authenticity is compelling. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, I really like that person. What do you like about him? They're just so real. They're just so genuine. You probably thought that about somebody before. And authenticity is compelling and beautiful. And what I'm suggesting this morning is that a life of fruitfulness in Jesus has to be real. It has to be the real thing, genuine and authentic. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me and I in you. If you do that, you're going to bear much fruit. And apart from me, you won't. Abide in me, remain in me. And so today we want to talk about being fruitful in our genuineness, our authenticity, as Jesus was so authentic. How do we become authentic people? A couple nights ago, I guess it was a week ago, I was having a little time on my oldest son's back. He's got a nice little deck behind his house, and He had some friends from Nashville that were visiting, and these friends from Nashville were saying, oh, what beautiful weather. It's so lovely out. And it was a great night last Sunday. It was beautiful weather. And we're sitting out there, and they're from Nashville, so they didn't know what grows in Minnesota and what doesn't. And they looked over at the corner there on the deck, and they saw this beautiful orange tree with these beautiful little oranges all over it. And one of them said, wow, that's amazing. And my daughter-in-law, Allie, said, they're plastic. But they did look amazing. They looked very real. But this is the point. It is possible to look authentic. I mean, it's possible to look very real and still be very inauthentic, to be very plastic. And we don't want to be that kind of a Christian. We want our lives to actually not just have the appearance of Jesus, not just have the appearance of faith, not just the outward appearance of discipleship, but actually bearing fruit. My mother wasn't a big gardener, but every once in a while she'd get a hankering to plant something. I grew up in northeast Nebraska, and there's a lot of watermelon farmers. A lot of people grow watermelons around there. And my mom thought, wouldn't it be great if we grew our own watermelons? And so she planted a vine, right? I still remember, I could see there's a little cubby hole right on the left side of the house where I grew up. And she kind of took this flower bed and said, that's going to be watermelon country this year, okay? And she planted this vine, and she was so excited when the vine spread all over that area. Oh, she was excited. And then these little blossoms came out all over. She said, Dave, see all those blossoms? Those could all be watermelons. And we were all excited about it. And then watermelons started growing, and they were about the size of, like, tomatoes. And then they just kind of stayed the size of tomatoes. They just stayed there. And my mom would be out there watering, and that part of the house was right next door to the neighbor's house. Mr. Kennedy lived next door. There's a little fence between our houses, and they had a little side door that came out there. And I saw my mom talking to Mr. Kennedy across that fence quite a bit of the time. And every time he'd see her watering those watermelons and tending to that flower bed, he'd come there and stand there and talk to her, and he said, you know, so you're going to have watermelons this year, huh? She goes, yeah, I'm really excited. Look at all of them. You know, and he said, yeah, it looks like a good crop. And she said, well, I'm kind of bothered, though, because they've kind of stopped. They're like tomato size, and they aren't doing anything. And Mr. Kennedy would say, oh, I've heard that once they start growing, they can grow so fast. And he'd encourage her every day. He'd say, don't you worry about it. One day you're going to have watermelons. And she'd come out there faithfully believing Mr. Kennedy. One morning, I remember, I was probably in elementary school, and my mom just came screaming into the house. She'd gone out to water the watermelon in the morning, and there were like 7 or 8 ginormous watermelon in that little flower. The vine was just filled with great big watermelons. She goes, you're never going to believe what happened. You know, so we all running out. And I noticed Mr. Kennedy was sitting on the porch with a wry smile on his face. He'd just been waiting for the watermelon to go on sale at the grocery store, and he picked up about 7 or 8 of them, and he just laid them in her garden. And, you know, my mom, God bless her, she is a wonderful person, but she sometimes does show her cards a little too quick. I mean, my mom will cheer for the instant replay when she watches a football game, you know. They did it again! No, that was the instant replay, Mom. You know. And we told her, you know, it is impressive, but even watermelon probably take more than one night to just, you know, blossom like that. The thing is that real fruitfulness takes abiding, and it takes time. If you go into a vineyard or a watermelon field, the vines don't just sit there and then one day go, boom, there's a watermelon. You know, it's not just like, boom, there's a cluster of grapes. No. If you go out there, you'll see a little thing starting to grow, and it's a day-by-day thing, little by little, day by day. That's what authentic fruit looks like. You know, as a church, as a person, I'm not interested in instant overnight growth. I know everybody wants a silver bullet. Everybody wants everything to be right overnight. That's not truth. True fruit takes time. Authentic fruit takes time. And so we want to start today with these words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Help me out. Somebody, there we go. Back, there we go. Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them." This is the part of the sermon we all like, when Jesus points at other people. You say, "That's right, Jesus. I got to watch out for them, and I got to watch out for them, I got to watch out for them." Jesus is saying appearances can be deceptive. And so Jesus encourages his disciples. He says, don't just take somebody on face value. What's he say? Test their fruits. You go up there and make sure those aren't plastic oranges. Because appearances can deceive you. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So Jesus says, when you're thinking about who to follow, who to listen to, when you're trying to evaluate, is someone leading a genuine life? You can't just go on appearances. You have to see what's actually coming out of their life. Is it real? He says, test it. Does that sound like being judgmental to you? I've heard people say things like, you know, well, who are you to judge if somebody else is real or not? And my dad always used to say, you know, you shouldn't be judgmental, but you should be a good fruit inspector. You should test the fruit to make sure it's real. Jesus goes on here, get ready, because it's not just about the other people. He says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. What's the important part, Jesus says? The tree, right? It's the root. He says, if you're rooted in the right thing, you can't produce what's bad. If you're rooted in the bad thing, you can't produce what's good. What do you care about? The appearance or the roots? See, the real fruit grows out of the right kind of tree. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It sounds a little bit like John the Baptist there, doesn't it? He says, thus, by your fruit, you will recognize them. We might say also Jesus said, and maybe not in so many words, but all through the Gospels, he implies that by our fruit we'll be recognized. You know, John chapter 13 comes to mind, where Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. How? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. What kind of love is Jesus talking about? The love of Christ, right? Loving people like I do. And then he says, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, that's just another way of saying it, isn't it? He's saying, you can be judged by the fruit you bear as well. And so when the fruit, the things that actually come out of my lives, that tells me where the root is, right? Fruit can't be faked. The fruit I bear reveals the root of my heart. I can wear the Christian outfit and give the Jesus answers, but the fruit comes out when I'm driving on the freeway. The fruit comes out when I'm over here with these friends and nobody's watching. Right? The fruit comes out when I'm on my own on the internet. The fruit comes out, right? You know the difference between posturing and wearing the face of a Christian and having the source of life that's coming out of Jesus. And for our purposes this morning, if it was nothing more than you saying, you know what? I want to get real about this. I don't want to have just the appearance of being a Jesus follower. I really want to be following. I want my life to flow out of him. That would be a victory today. If I could just make you dissatisfied with appearances. Let me tell you something. You know it. You and I have contributed to this, but Sunday morning churches are filled with people with the appearance of godliness. But there's no root. Hello? Is that true? Has it been true about the chair you're sitting in? Yeah. You see, I can't fake it. And what I need to do if I'm going to lead a fruitful life is I have to first of all get honest about, am I actually connected? Am I actually rooted in Jesus? Do I actually want the fruit of Christ to come through me? Or are you satisfied with appearances? A lot of people are. You know, we live in a world filled of deception and posturing, you know, trying to make it look good on our resume as opposed to actually having goodness flowing through us. Fruit, real, the things we're really doing and thinking, those are the fruit of where we're rooted. Secondly, Jesus calls us to authenticity. As I mentioned, the verses we just looked at were toward the end of what we sometimes refer to in the New Testament as the Sermon on the Mount. And all through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives all kinds of calls toward authenticity. I would encourage you to read chapters 5 through 7 and see how many different ways Jesus says, you know what? It's not enough just to have the appearance. You got to have the real deal. For instance, just a couple here. In the very first verse of Matthew 6, Jesus says, you do righteous things? Well, be careful. Don't do righteous things just so other people will see you do righteous things, right? What's Jesus saying? You can do good things for the wrong reasons. You can do good things because it's an image, but it's not really coming out of you, right? He says, when you pray... It doesn't, the point is not to really do a good job so people can say, wow, that person really prays. Jesus says, don't settle for the appearance. Have an actual relationship where you talk to the Father. He says, you don't have to do it to be seen. The Father knows what's real, Jesus says. He goes on, he does this over and over. He says, when you fast, quit putting on a show to show everybody how devout and serious you are. Is that, that's the total way to miss the point of that kind of devotion and reverence. And so Jesus is constantly saying, don't be satisfied with the appearance. Go for the root. In verse 21, in the same series of sayings in the New Testament, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus says it's not enough to be words. It's actually got to be this doing that flows out of being, right? At the end of Matthew 7, the famous wise man build his house on the rock, foolish man build his house on the sand story. Jesus says, you're blessed if you hear my words and put them into practice. You know, it's in the actual producing of the fruit. And so Jesus is calling us to a life of authentic living. He's saying that to live a fruitful life in Christ is more than an appearance. He calls us to a life that's rooted in transformation of our hearts. And this, I wish I had a long time to talk about this. Fortunately, I hope to be here a while. I'll probably have another chance to talk about it. But a lot of people miss this about Jesus. There's a new book coming out. Actually, it's just out. It's on the bookshelves now. And it's going to be a bestseller because you could tell some books are headed to be bestsellers because the author is being interviewed on Fresh Air with Terry Gross on NPR, or being, you know, interviewed on The Daily Show, and they got the publicity going. It's going to be a big book, and it's a new book about Jesus. It's called Zealot, and the author is this really, I think, a charming young guy named Reza Aslan, and he's written a number of books, and I'm sure it's an extremely well-written book, and he's a humorous, genuine, likable person. But I think he gets some things wrong about Jesus. I got the book. It's coming this week. I'll read it. It's on the bestseller list. I better find out what they're saying about Jesus. But on this interview, I heard Reza Aslan say this. He said, you know, why do you think he was a zealot? And he said, well, you know, Jesus, as a first century Jew, knew the Torah. And he actually took the law and he actually made it into a more severe law. He said, Jesus said, you've heard it said, do not commit murder. And I tell you, don't even think about it. Right? Do you know where Reza Aslan got this idea about Jesus being a more strict law than the Old Testament? I think he got it from a lot of Christians. Because we want to reduce, we say that, you know, like, oh, it's not just murder, don't even hate. See, Jesus makes it stricter. It's not just, no, not lust, not adultery, lust. You know, over and over. You know what Jesus, he was doing, in my view, he was doing quite the opposite. He wasn't trying to make a more strict, severe law. He was pointing out that the law can't change you. He said, you've heard it said, don't commit murder. He said, I'm telling you, let God transform you so murder never crosses your mind. Does that make sense? You hear what I'm saying? He's saying, don't just, you know, have a leash and build a fence and say, don't commit adultery. Jesus is saying, let your heart be so changed that adultery is undesirable and uninteresting to you. Jesus says it's not enough to have walls and fences and rules and leashes. What we have to have is changed hearts. Jesus doesn't say, try harder to follow the rules. I'm going to give you more strict rules. Jesus says, abide in me. Do you think that Jesus lived his life the way he lived it because he was putting on a show for us? Or do you think it was actually authentic? Do you think that when they brought children and the disciples said, don't let the kids go in there, and Jesus said, no, let them in. Do you think Jesus was saying, let him in. I think this will look good for the papers. Or do you think he actually cared about the children? I mean, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. Do you think he really had a heart of forgiveness? Or do you think he was thinking, what I'd really like to say is, boy, my father is going to do something to you. But wait a minute. I'm supposed to be acting like the Messiah. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Do you think Jesus was living an image or living a life? I think he was authentic. And I would suggest to you that all of our efforts, when we try to live our lives in a way that's like, oh, this is what I'd really like to do, really like to punch that guy, but wait a minute, I'm a Christian. Oh, welcome to Valley. You see, I'm suggesting to you that is, we shouldn't be just building rules and things. What we should be doing is saying, God, change me into the person that doesn't want revenge. Change me into the person that doesn't want to destroy my life with addiction. Change me into the person that sees those people over there as people, not as objects of gratification for me. You see, Jesus is saying, the law is true, but it won't change you. Abide in me. I can do that. Abide in me, and you can live your life in a way that I would live it, with my help, with my guidance, with my teaching, with my spirit in you. Jesus calls us to more than appearances. He calls us to live an authentic life rooted in him. This authenticity is in Christ. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Does that sound like somebody that's trying to make a law that's harder? You know, Jesus looked, if you read the Gospels, Jesus got so upset at the Pharisees. And so upset at the scribes, because he said, you just make following God sound like a terrible hard thing to do. He said, these people are already worn out and beaten down, and you come and say, I got some more rules. Jesus says, hey, in contrast to that, come to me. I'm gentle. I'm humble. My yoke, get connected to me. You know, a yoke connects two animals together so they walk in step. He says, wear my yoke. Get connected to me. Walk beside me. Because if you walk beside me, with me, we'll do this together. I'm not here to add more burden to you. I'm here to bear the burden with you. Walk in step with me. Learn how to walk like I walk. Take the speed I take. Go the places I go. Learn from me. Find your authenticity in walking in step with me. Like Paul said to the Galatians, let's keep in step with the Spirit. C.S. Lewis said, until you have given up yourself to Christ, you will not have a real self. I like that because I think Lewis was onto something. He was saying, you know what? We were never meant to be without Christ. We were never meant to live a life on our own. So Lewis says, if you're living your life without Christ, you're living a diminished life. You're less than you were meant to be. Until you have given up yourself to Christ, you will not have a real self. The very first step is to try to forget about the self altogether. Your real new self will not come as long as you are looking for it. It will come when you are looking for Christ. Christ will indeed give you a real personality. That's powerful. That's worth thinking about. And you might say, what do you mean, stop thinking about me? It seems like the whole sermons have been how I should think about myself. Well, I want you to be self-evaluative and I want you to be thoughtful. But here's the best way I can maybe illustrate this. Have you ever met somebody who they were trying too hard to be your friend? You know, have you ever had this? I've seen this. I've probably done it. You know, like where they're always like, hey, we're having fun now, right? You know, you're like, hey, simmer down, buddy. You know, like, because I just want to be good friends. You know, like, we're having fun, aren't we? You know, it's like, wow, this guy is really trying way too hard. This guy's wearing me out with his friendliness. What I really, when there's somebody that I have a good relationship with, you know what I like? Is you can just be who we are. You know? Sometimes people will, I'll just confess here, sometimes, you know, when you're the pastor, you know, people don't let you just be who you are. You're the pastor. No, just me. I don't try to be any different here than I am anywhere else. It's just me. And sometimes I can't have a relationship with someone who won't just let me be me and they won't just be them. Some people, it's like, well, I can't be who I am with you. Why? You're the pastor. Like, well, this is not going to go well for our friendship. You know, I guess you can be a parishioner and I can be a pastor. If we're going to be friends, we're going to have to be who we are and stop trying so hard. We're going to have to admit when we have questions. You know, we're going to be able to, so how you doing? You're going to have to be able to say, not so good today, or awesome, whatever your day's going like. The point is, C.S. Lewis says that a real relationship with Jesus isn't come from this think about yourself all the time. It's like let go of yourself. Lose yourself. Get to know him. Just care about him. Let him shape you. Christ will indeed give you personality, he says. Sharon Hod Miller, on a little blog I read over at the Christianity Today website, she had this great quote in an article on being authentic and real. She said this, in Christ we become true selves. God opens our eyes to our sins, to self-deception, to the things in our lives that are not of him. And then God transforms us, conforming us to the only perfect human being who ever lived. In Christ, we stop operating according to the constraints of social expectations, personal insecurities, and lies. Rather than live in the ways that are subhuman, you notice what she does there? It's like to live apart from Christ is to be less than human. Rather than live in ways that are subhuman, finally, we live in a manner worthy of God's vision for humanity. God's vision for you being a wonderful Christian person is not that you get really good at pretending. God's vision for you in Christ is that you could actually be who you really were meant to be. Jesus said, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying this, quit trying to see me as an additive. Quit trying to make me part of your life. No, let go of your life. Give it to me. Lose yourself. Find who you are in pursuing me. Quit pursuing your own life and trying to add me to it. You know, it's like, hey, I'm doing this pretty good as a branch. I'm looking for a vine or two I could work into my life. No. Realize you have no life apart from the vine. Lose yourself in him. Lose your life in Jesus. Find your true self. A fruitful life, as we talked about last week, means we submit ourselves and humble ourselves before God. And this week, we're reminded that as we humble ourselves and submit ourselves, we have to get real and say, I'm not interested in the image of being a Christian or a Jesus follower. I'm interested in actually having a life that is actually being led and shaped and inspired and empowered by Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for these wonderful friends that we could worship together today, that we could open the Word today. Thank you so much for bringing the Casa de Niños people to us. Thank you, God, for the work you're doing there. Help us this week, oh God, to humble ourselves, submit ourselves to you, and take steps toward being real. Help us to really determine in our lives that the Jesus life, the Christian life we're looking for, is not a life of image, but it's a life of authenticity. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful week. The Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcasts and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note through our website, valleycc.org.